I'm not surprised with what you said, not a bit. Jesus. I want you to strap your helmets on because I did not want to preach this sermon. I'm going to tell you, I did not. I went to a conference meeting yesterday and I was asked on the way up there if I'd preach before. I had no idea I was even going to preach. And God did this, and I'm going to tell you what, it ain't probably going to be an amen sermon all day today. Because I'm asking you serious, and God has told me to ask you this. Do you really, really, really love Jesus? And do your actions prove that you love Him? Are the choices you make based on the fact that you love Jesus? Would others that know you testify to the fact that you love Jesus? I want these questions. I want you to just ask these questions to yourself this morning, if you wouldn't care, please. All right. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Very plain, very simple. But you know what? Jesus has put that. These words are true. And these are the words, if you had a red letter Bible, this is what Jesus said. He said, if ye love me, Father, as we come, Lord, here this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you and praise you for the opportunity that I have to stand behind this sacred desk this morning. I ask you, Lord, that I don't count this, Lord, as anything but just a privilege that you've given me, Lord, and I just want to use it for your glory and for your honor. I pray, Lord, this morning that hearts would be receptive and that, Lord, that your word would go out in a way to be pleasing unto you. And you go to a funeral home and you go to see somebody that's deceased. And you know, you go there and you listen to them talk about them. Have you ever heard them say, boy, he or she really loved the Mountaineers or really loved the herd? You ever heard that by somebody that you go and see it? You know, I have. Boy, they loved to hunt and fish. Boy, they could really cook. Ever heard that? I've heard that at funerals. Or boy, they were really a good worker. They were really a good worker. They took care of their families. They provided. They were a good worker. The one I hear a lot is, well, they were a really good person. You would go to your home and hear that, right? They sure love to go to church. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, what I just said. Do you understand that? I've heard lots of things like that. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. When I die, it's my goal for people not to go by my casket, and I want them to say, you know what? He was a really good father, or he was a really good husband. My goal is when they go by my casket is to say this: that man loved Jesus. And I'll go by your casket just for them to say that you were a good person, or that you were a good father, or a good mother. That's fine. Those are good goals. But up and pray that your goal is when they go by your casket that they can say to you, that person loved Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that that's the way it is. Now, what about you? He or she loves the Lord. Can they say that about you this morning? And I want you to be honest with yourself. You don't have to answer me. You know that. I'm the one just preaching the word that God gives me. Do you really love Jesus this morning as much as you say that you do? As much as you say that you do. Or more importantly, right? How does Jesus, you know, you're not going to fool Him. Does Jesus Christ, does the God in heaven and His Son know that you truly love Him this morning? I would like to submit to you what the Word of God says about the subject. You know, throughout the Bible, God gives us different reasons, and He said you head on. And that's what He told me in getting this sermon ready and trying to get ready. He said, confront the issue head on. And first of all, we'll start off with Malachi 1:6. You can turn there if you want, or you can listen. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if to you, O priest that despise my name, ye say wherein, and have ye despised thy name? They're asking the question. Ye've offered polluted bread upon mine altar, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, to offer it now unto thine governor, will he be pleased? with it or accept the person, saith the Lord of hosts. If you read that, what he's trying to say there is, and I want you to remember, come, we'll get into this a little bit later down the road. Second best is not good enough. That's what he's trying to say. That's what those scriptures are trying to say. He's trying to say, second best. If you tell her, I love Jesus, you told me that, I'm telling you this morning, he doesn't want your second best. He doesn't want it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to prove to you here in a little bit on some of the give an offering at all. Because he wants the very best from you. If you love someone or something, you do your best for them. Am I right? Tell me this morning that you love your husband or wife and don't try to do your best for them. Tell me that. Prove that. Show me that you can do that. To give your best effort. You give your best effort. You should be. You should want to go the extra mile. If you tell someone that you love them and you truly love them, you're willing to go the extra mile for that person. Am I right? You're willing to do that. As you are to Jesus, you probably wouldn't be employed right now, some of us, right? Amen, Roma, I told you. If you were as faithful to your wife or husband as you are to Jesus, you wouldn't still be married. If you paid your bills like you pay your tithes, you probably wouldn't have a car or a house right now. Amen? If you are obedient to the laws of the land as you are to what Jesus has commanded us, I'll tell you what, you would probably be sitting in jail right now. To God's will, I'll tell you what. Now, do you really love Jesus? He sees directly into your heart. Do you know that? He is not persuaded by our fancy words. I think it's more important, he looks right down inside and he knows exactly if I love him or not. And he knows if you do this morning also. You know why? Look at Mark 14, 29, 30. It tells us this, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crows thrice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Why? Because he knew Peter's heart. Peter was one of those that could stand right up there and say, you know what, Lord, I love you. I'll go with you all the way. Jesus knew his heart. And let me tell you something this morning here. You're not fooling me. He knows your heart. He knows the heart of everybody that claims to love him. He knows the heart of those that don't love him. He knows their heart. And he knows ours this morning. Folks, I want you to know something. Words are cheap, are they not? Words are very cheap. I can put a lot of words out there and say a lot of different things. But folks, words are cheap. You may fool your friends. You may fool your family. You can fool your spouse. You may even fool yourself. And there are people who fool themselves all the time. Don't think that doesn't happen. But you cannot fool Jesus, and you're not going to. You're not going to fool God. He knows the heart. Let me ask you again, and I want to put it out there again. Do you really love Jesus? Do you love him as much as you say you do? The evidence of your love for him. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. First off, notice Jesus begins it by saying, if you love me. He knew that there was some right there even amongst him that didn't love him, Okie. He knew it. He knew it when he put it out there. He had one disciple, we know, one of them following him that was going to betray him, right? Jesus knew this. Even the one of his disciples was prepared right whenever he said these things. And he was sitting here listening to Jesus Christ himself speak these words. So tell me this morning that there are not people out there in this world today, sitting in churches out there today, saying that they love Jesus and knowing full well that they don't love him. Doing full well. Jesus makes it very clear. If you really love him, there will be evidence. You will be obedient. Do you love your life that says such that the lost can see that Jesus Christ lives in you? Are you obedient enough here this morning when you walk out and do your jobs and you go about your daily walk of life that the world can see Jesus Christ through you? Are you obedient enough to be that way? But just watching you. I told you this and I believe it wholeheartedly. And I will continue to preach this. The only Bible that a lot of people will ever read is you. It's you. Your daily walk, the way that you act, the way that you do things. That, you know what, and you're claiming to love Jesus Christ and claiming to be a Christian. As you walk this daily walk of life and people are watching you, are they seeing the obedience that you have for Jesus Christ in your life? I'm sorry to say there's too many pew warmers. Can I say that? I'm sorry. But there's too many people in the churches around the world today that are like that. They want to live their lives their way. They want to do their Christian way, the way that they want to do it. And yet they're not obedient to Jesus Christ. They're just obedient to themselves. That's how it is. They're not one bit concerned. Not one bit concerned what God's desires and commands are. They just want to worry about what's right for them. What feels good in their Christian way, in their view of Christianity? 1 John 2:3-5 tells us this, that it will never work. It says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments." Now I want you to listen to this. Now listen, this is why I'm telling you it's important. If you're telling me you love Jesus Christ this morning, you better be serious about it. "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I didn't say it. It's in your book too. He said, "But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Know we that we are in him." John's telling you and me that if obedience is not in your heart, I'm going to say it blunt. You're not saved. If you do not have obedience in your heart, it says it's a liar. My Bible tells me who's going to find their place in the lake of fire one of these days. One of them's going to be a liar. Amen? That's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. John's telling us, let's have a time out here. Let's have a little bit of a time out. Let me verify something here for you. I understand Christians fall. I understand Christians make mistakes. I understand that. But I want to tell you something. When we do, you know what? The Spirit of God deals with us right now, does it not? And we come and we have to be obedient and make it right, right? We have to do that. But if you're the type of person who just casts it off and doesn't care, this is what he's talking about right here, then you know what? Obedience is not in you. Then you are a liar and the truth is not in you. It's not. Okay, let's go on a little bit with this. Praise God. If we truly love Jesus... Now look at this. Let's look at Matthew 22:35-40. If we're hooked up to a polygraph machine, and I'm going to read this, and I want every one of you to think about this. If you're hooked up to a polygraph machine, which is a lie detector machine, which will take and it gives you a general good idea of whether or not a person's telling the truth or not, right? Now I want to ask you this. Do you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind? This is the first great commandment. And the second and two is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now remember, you're hooked up to a polygraph machine right now. All of you. Just think about this for a second. There was a major survey done of the millennium generation, which is anybody that's born from about 1980 to about 2000. And let's just don't throw them under the bus. I'm going to get to the rest of you here in just a little bit. But you know what it said that, you know what, the majority of them don't pray, they don't worship, and they don't read their Bibles, according to this survey that's done. And these are the ones that go to church. This was done by a Lifeway Christian group, who it was done by. And I like surveys, whether or not they mean a whole lot or not, I like them. I like the numbers and stuff. They have some kind of a meaning. Well, you know what, as they say, where there is smoke, there is fire. Right? A guy that did this, a guy by the name of Rainer, he made this statement. If that trend continues, you're going to see churches closing faster than a GM dealership. And that's what he said. And let's be fair, folks. This has been going on for a long time. And I can throw my generation in there, the baby boomers. I can throw a lot of them in there. Can I not do that? Because praise God, you know what? If we say we love Jesus Christ and we don't obey him, the truth is not in us and we're liars. And that goes through all generations. I don't think it just started with this young group of generations here. I don't think it did. This is not just them. This is happening because people have lost their love for Jesus. They have a form of godliness, Dale, but deny the power thereof, because you know what? They don't have that love for God. They don't have the love for Jesus. So you say you love Jesus? You say you do? I love God, but you don't talk to Him? Listen to me. If you say you love your spouse, and you went in the house, and you sat down, and you didn't say nothing to her, or him, and the only thing you ever said was, hey, can you give me a drink? Would you give me a snack? And that's all you ever said. Or maybe the only thing you ever said to him was, I'm complaining about, well, you know what, I know you fixed supper, but you know what, I really didn't like what you fixed. Or you got me a glass of tea, and you got it in a plastic glass, and I like it in a glass one. Or maybe you fixed, how long do you think that marriage would go on? How long do you think it would go, or how long do you think you would be happy now? I'm telling you, not very long, right? All right, Christians, you say you love God, you love Jesus. Why is it every time we go to Him in prayer, we go complaining? We go asking for stuff that, you know, that sometimes that we don't need? How many times do we do this? How many times do we not even pray to Him, maybe? I'm just asking you. We say we love Him. We say that. But then, you know, we go around and sometimes our actions aren't what our words are, right? Or what we're saying. Just sit around and don't communicate. Just don't communicate with Him. Don't communicate with your spouse, like I said. See how long it takes. Listen, folks, unfortunately, I think that there's a lot of professing Christians that are like that. Amen. Unfortunately. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, this is the part you need right here. With thanksgiving. That's where it's at. He wants us to pray. He wants us to go for Him and ask Him. He wants us to, but we have to be thankful. And I'm afraid we've become very unthankful. I'm afraid we have. He said, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Are you thankful? Or are you just complaining all the time? You know what? I told you, buckle on, because we ain't even got started yet. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. There are times we just need to be alone with Jesus Christ and give Him thanks. Can you give me an amen on that one? There are times when we go before God, we just need to say, thank you. I'm not coming for nothing, God. I just want to praise you and thank you. Can we do that sometimes? It doesn't hurt us. I know we have prayer requests, but praise God, has He not done miracles in our lives? Has He not done... You know what? If you got up and took a breath today, that is a miracle. Praise Him this morning. Give Him thanks. There are times we just need to do that. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His love. Thank Him for His salvation. Many can or will not pray because they're consumed with, you know, they're consumed with what matters, the stuff that matters. And what it matters is not maybe something that won't even make amount to a hill of beans next week. Not alone eternity. But you know what? They ain't got time to pray. I got another part of that survey here for you. It said this. The survey showed that 65% of professing Christians never pray with others. Like, you know, you bow your heads to pray with other people. 65% of the ones that profess to be Christians don't. And get this, 38% of professing Christians don't pray at all. Those are the ones that admitted it. I don't understand that stuff. My goodness, we were saved, and we've got a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior, and He says we can go boldly to the throne of grace, and you don't want to pray? Man, I don't know. Tell me, answer that question for me. I mean, it just blows what little mind I got. It just blows. Why would we not want to? Listen, if you really love God and His Son, you're going to want to talk to Him. When I get home, I love my wife and I want to ask her. And she talks to me about her day and I'll talk to her about my day because we love each other. It's not because we want the little chit-chat, because we love each other. And I hope and pray you're the same way. And if you're telling me you love Jesus and you don't talk to Him, come on now. Come on. Tell me that's right. Also, if you really love Him, you'll allow Him to speak to you also, right? Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. While prayer is God speaking to us, God's word is Him speaking, is letting Him speak to us, right? It's good. Prayer, we can talk to Him. His word lets Him speak to us. And His spirit lets Him speak to us. Folks, I want to tell you something. You know what? If the only Bible you get here, you're doing wrong. You're doing wrong. Get your Bibles out during the week. Read them things. Dig into them. Don't just do work. Delve into it. Listen, if you say you love God, you're going to want to let Him talk to you, and you're going to want to talk to Him. Amen? Have you ever been around someone who won't let you get in a word edgewise? Have you been around somebody like that? Kind of goes like this. Then they take a breath. Then you try to say something, and it's just, you say a word. Does that get annoying? I know it does, because I've been there. I've heard it before. I've heard it just sounded just like that. Have you ever heard on Charlie Brown where the parents speak? Wah, 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 wah. That's what it sounds like sometimes. And folks, let me tell you something. I was watching a skit here just a while back. It was about a guy, and Jesus had come in and sat down at the table, and this guy comes in and sits down, and Jesus is listening, and this guy just goes on and on and on about, Lord, I want you to pray for this. I've got this going on. Finally, he's laying back in his seat. This guy is, he keeps going, and finally at the end of it, he said, well, I think that's about all I've got. And Jesus starts to speak, and this guy gets up and leaves. That's the way people are sometimes. That's the way we are. That's where we are. You know what? He's wanting to talk to us through His Word. But you know what? We're too busy. We're too busy. We got our own goals. We got our own things going on. You know what? That's what happened. You know how did it make you feel when that person was doing that? I know how it makes me feel. It's like you don't matter. It's like what you got to say don't count. What do you think God thinks about it? What do you think His Son thinks about that? You wouldn't feel it. You wouldn't feel loved, would you? If that's what somebody did to you all the time. Wouldn't do it. How do you think God feels? And don't you have time? You know what? Now get a load of this. How do you think God feels when we're trying to talk? And He's trying to talk to us and go through His Word. The Holy Spirit's trying to deal with us. And you don't have time because the TV's calling, because Facebook's calling, because you're trying to follow Twitter. You want to follow what's trending on Twitter. I want to ask you a question. If you're using more electricity for TV than you are the lamp to read the Bible with, I tell you what, do you really love God as much as you say you do? Can I give that to you? Do you really love God as much as you say that you do? When you open God's living Word, and it's allowed to speak, and His Word is alive, and you allow it to speak to you. You know, I just don't, you know what? His work in creation is in there. Amen? His plan for us, for you, and for all mankind is in there. It's in there. The sacrifice He made is in His Word. You know what? What is in store for our life as we end this life here is in there. We were studying a little bit about it today in Revelation. It's in there. I want to tell you this morning, it is a blessed privilege to be able to open God's Word and to read it. It is a privilege. And I'm sorry. I'm afraid so many people, you tell me you love Jesus. Are you really getting into it the way that you say you are? You say you love God, but do you come to His house on a regular basis? I want to ask you something. All right? Again, I'm going to use the spouses. What if your husband or wife just popped in every once in a while? I'm going to go visit them. So I'm going to visit them once in a while. I'm going to go home once in a while. How do you feel that would work? How do you feel that would work? I don't think it'd be very good, would it? I don't think it'd be very good whatsoever. I don't think so. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsake the assembly of yourself together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Oh, by the way, I preached about honk honk here the other night. Can you still honk me now? Huh? Those of you here know what I was talking about, how those geese will encourage you. Listen, this man, but extorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Some studies show 65% of professing Christians never attend worship services. Tell me about that one. We have such an awesome privilege to come together in God's house. We have it. We have it. Listen, I want to tell you something. I study 8 to 9 hours, try to, breaking it up a week, trying to prepare sermons. You can ask my wife. You can ask her. And you know what? It's kind of discouraging to come here whenever God has given me something for you, and you don't show up to get it. All right? We have teachers that study to teach the Word of God. And people, you know, and they put time and effort into it. And they're wanting to bless you with the knowledge that God has given them. Not because they want to stand up here and speak words, or not because I want to stand up here and preach. It's because they have something for you. You know what? There are those who prepare to sing songs for you. And their testimony has been put upon people's hearts. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God wants you to be here to hear that, to encourage you, to lift you up. There are those who just love to fellowship with you. They would. And listen to me. Don't think that I'm picking on you. Because you know what? God gave me this sermon last night. I had no idea he would be here this morning. But praise God, I want to tell you this. I thank him for it. I thank him for it. I praise him for it. But you know what? He wants us to be here to fellowship. I understand if you're sick or there's work involved. I understand if vacations and special occasions. You know what? I'm not that dogmatic about it. But I'll tell you something I don't understand. Someone just not coming because they don't want to come. A professing Christian. Oh, I just don't want to come this morning. I just don't want to. Tell me that's right. Tell me that's right. You told me you love Jesus. If you love him, don't you want to be around his people and around his house? I think around his place, I think I would. I think I know I do. I don't understand who just don't want to come to God's house because they don't want to come. I actually have a hard time. I actually have a hard time with that. I'll just be quite honest with you. I don't understand because I know there's a blessing for people. I know there is. Not because you need to listen to me. There are better preachers out there. If you want to go, there's other churches around. But praise God, you know what? We need to be in God's house. Like I told you, if you only pop into your house and talk to your spouse once in a while and pop in there, I'm telling you right now, it wouldn't be a very good situation. I guarantee you it wouldn't be a good situation in your house. I know better than that. I know better than that. Remember, you're still in the old lie detector machine. Remember that. You're taking inventory this morning. But do you give him what is his? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God, yet have robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. How can we rob God? How can we do that? You must consider the fact that all that we have belongs to him anyway. Can you say amen to that? And you know what? God allows us to keep. He allows us to keep the majority of it. Do you understand that? Everything that he has given you, God has given you. Everything that you have. And he allows you to keep the majority of it. He only asked for a small portion. Do you know what tithes means? It means a tenth. Do you know what offerings means? It means a present. Especially in sacrifice. That's what it means. Look it up and you'll see. The problem with many people's attitude toward tithing is this. It's simply, they'll give God what's left. You know what? You may go out and spend $200 on Saturday on what you want, and then come in the next day and throw a 5 or 10 or 20, whatever it is in the old offering plate. Now tell me. I mentioned to you earlier, God said he does not want second best. He wants your best. Amen? He wants it. He refuses leftovers. Can I say that? He refuses them. I'll tell you what. Thank God. Again, if you spent $200 on yourself every time you went out with your spouse, I'll tell you what I told you, and you only give her $5 or $10 to spend on herself every time you went out, tell me how good that would go for you after a while. I don't think it'd go very good, would it? Tell me again. Do you really love God? Do you really love Him? You know what? It might not be real good for your relationship if you did something like that, and it's not real good for your relationship with God if you do something like that. Again, I'm not dogmatic. If you've only got $5 or $10 to throw in the offering plate, and that's all that you got, you know, throw it in there and God will bless you. Remember the woman who God said she'd give her all? Remember that? I'm not dogmatic about that stuff, but I'm telling you, you're telling me you love God. Let's do it and you just be obedient to what God says to do. You say, I love Him, but you do not serve Him. Romans 12, 4 and 8. I'm going to turn right there and we'll read that because I think it's important. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace as given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, you can sing, you can teach, you can play an instrument, you can be an encourager. God has room for all. Am I right? And He needs us all to do that. Amen? The help wanted sign is out. Can I say that? God has put it out, and brothers and sisters, He's put it out for everybody who's hearing the sound of my voice this morning. He's hearing it. God's called to us. He's calling to us. God has a job for you. If you love Him, I'll tell you what, listen to me. If you love Him, listen to the call. If you have a nice toolbox and you got every tool imaginable in it, I want to ask you a question. For every job you pulled out a hammer and that's all you pulled out, how much would you get done? Not much. You get a lot destroyed. I don't know if you'd get it pulled back together. You see what I'm talking? God needs hammers. He needs screwdrivers. He needs pliers. He needs it all. And all of us are not a part of that. He needs every bit of it. And we say we love God. I'm going to tell you what. This is what He's wanting. This is what God wants. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also it is Christ. Listen, I went out on the internet and found the most. These are the excuses people give for not serving in the church. Now, I didn't write these down. These are not mine, but these are a survey done on the internet. Now, listen to this. I'm too busy with work. I'm too busy with the kids. Commitments, baseball, basketball, cheerleading, football, band, academics, whatever it be. I'm too busy with a sick relative. I don't know what opportunities are available in the church. I don't know what gift God has given me. And I don't have the skills. I'm burnt out. I don't get anything out of it. I offered to serve in the past, but no one followed up with it. I felt unappreciated. Those were the top ones that were given for people while they did. I cannot speak for whether or not those excuses work for you. I don't know. I know maybe they're legitimate. I don't know. I'm asking you this morning, as I said before, do you love Jesus this morning? Are you obedient? Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Plain, simple, to the point. For those who say that they're too busy to serve church, for your information, those people that stand up here and teach every week, for most of them, to go downstairs and teach, those people that do other jobs in this church, I know they have families. I know that most of them work jobs. I know that most of them do things outside of the church and have activity. And you know what? And we say that we're too busy to do stuff, and yet they're not? Amen or oh my. Most of the people who teach and run work jobs and have families, how much do you really love Jesus this morning? I want to ask you. I'm being blunt. I told you this wasn't going to be an amen service. I know it wouldn't be. And I'm not being, I'm not hard-hearted or dogmatic about it. You know me well, but I hope you know me better now. And if I couldn't have preached a sermon this morning, I wouldn't have preached it. I didn't want to. I had other ones in mind. I wanted to preach other stuff. I wanted to preach lollipops and that's not the way he directed it. Can I ask you again? Do you really love Jesus this morning? You told me you did first. I hope you still do. I hope you still do. But you know what? If you can't measure, if you don't think that things aren't going the way that measuring up to His Word, not what I said, we're going to give you the opportunity. They come and get a song. I want you to come. And as you come this morning, let's pray. Let's just pray that God gives us what we need in our lives to make us closer to Him. I tell you what, I've seen way too many people. Thinking about this to God that said, you know, I've seen way too many people that tell me they love Him, and then a few years down the road, they're out of church. They're not going to church at all. And it breaks my heart. It doesn't make me happy because that's what happened. It doesn't make me stand up here and say, I wish, you know, I'm just glad because that way they can get their just deserts. I don't say that kind of stuff because I know better than to say that. I want everybody to know the love of God in the hearts and experience it beyond measure. I want that. I want that for everyone.